This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, The Knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, Julian Fern, and Rob Edwards. It's great to have you boys in the studio. Julian's already giving me an evil eye, but I'm glad I've missed him. I'm going to throw it out there. I've missed him. I've missed you, mate. I've missed you all. And of course, I was looking forward to this show, and then it was 0-0 with Stevenage, and then the result last night. We're going to talk about it. I thought this is going to be a completely different show, but what a win for the O's last night against Mansfield away. 2-0 down, 3-2. So much to talk about. We're going to be looking at that Stevenage game, 0-0. Obviously, the Mansfield result last night. We're going to be talking a little bit about signings. Leighton Orient women, because they may have had a good result on the weekend. I'm not sure. It was a really close one. I think that might have been a last-minute winner as well. So we're going to get Brendan, their famous media manager, to tell us all about it, because I'm hearing that he might be the surprise signing of the season. And we're also going to be talking to Gary Smith, looking at their game on the weekend. They play Crawley Town. We have to start before the fantastic game. We can't start with that one. Let's look at Stevenage at home at first. It was 0-0. Was that 2 points dropped, Julian, or would you say a draw was a fair result?
I think we talked about earlier, I think you got a 50-50 amongst us, the fans. Some of us said it was a good game. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Just not putting the ball in the back of the net. But reality is, I think we definitely dropped 2 points.
Dropped 2 points there. As you know, normally sometimes, not in the last few weeks, we have a producer, Josh, who is a Stevenage fan, and he texted me and he said that Stevenage were unlucky, who are done by there. So I was interested.
When's he in next?
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Not to have been done 4-0. Yeah, well, it's a Leighton Orient. They feel like it was 2 points drop. Interesting. I'd just like to get all perspectives, you know. Talking to Orient, I talked to Stevenage. Brendan, what did you think of the game?
As a comeback to that, I've got a stat for you.
No, don't, because you're the knowledge and it will ruin all the illusions.
Against Stevenage, we had 16 shots inside the box. That was the most in the whole EFL on Saturday.
Right,
well, I didn't score a goal.
I'm going to have a word. Yeah. A, with your strikers for not being clinical enough, but B, I'm going to have to word with Josh, because if he gives me false information like that again and makes me look silly, I won't be having it. Well, Rob, you didn't get the result against Stevenage, but we said this year that your home form was going to kind of be the key. You've jumped up that level. You are back in the Football League, and the home form is going to see you through this season. You know, we know you got that away win at Mansfield, but is it just, I know it's only two games, but you're like, we're fairly strong at home, we're unbeaten, this is where we can build a platform off that.
Yeah, I think you won't see too many games when you dominate that much and you just don't. I mean, there was bodies being thrown in, we were hitting the keeper rather than him saving them. On another day, it would have been 2 or 3 nil. Relatively easy.
I think it's the first game. I know you've only seen a couple since coming out of the National League, but that was the closest of feeling that we were back in the National League on Saturday. The quality of football by Stevenage wasn't brilliant. And we were saying earlier, I mean, the two centre-halves went off, I think, fairly early. So a couple of sort of reshaped there, and they were literally throwing their bodies in front of the ball. So it's very difficult. It's like when you're playing against 10 men or playing against those issues. We struggled, but I think it was in our own hands, and we should at least score one.
Yeah, I think the most frustrating thing is when you look at the wider context of the injuries that Stevenage had. I think they had 11 players injured before the game, and then two more in the first half with two. I think it was a 17-year-old and 18-year-old replacing their centre backs. So you think you're not really going to have a better chance to win a football match other than that weekend, and it just wasn't our day. But we'll move on and. Better result on Tuesday it was.
Well, another clean sheet at home, and although points are important, it is still August, performances are just as important. When you're keeping clean sheets, how pleased are you about those as well?
Yeah, especially after the sort of the week prior, really. So I think for the club, just to get the clean sheet was great, and Ross said that it was nice to sort of, that was a positive. But for me, it just clean sheet's great, but games like that as the knowledge was saying, you know, we should have definitely dominated, and we did dominate, and we should have made some impact on the game in regards to at least one goal. You know, just couldn't get one goal. 12 shots on target and you can't score one.
I think you look at the amount of chances we had, and it should have been put to bed a long time before. But what a save at the end by Dean Brill, though, to keep that clean sheet. I mean, I think Maidenhead last season, there was another couple of games last season when you dominate games and you just can't get the goal and then switch off at the back or a bit of a lucky deflection or whatever and you lose the game. So I think we were fortunate at the end that Brill pulled something out of the bag to keep us in it, but we shouldn't have really needed to rely on that, to be honest. But.
Well, if it's not enough having Julian and Rob and the knowledge in the studio, I'm delighted to say we've got Graham Butler on the line, ex-Orient pro. Graham, thank you so much for giving us a bit of your time. I know you're off to see The Lion King in 10 minutes, so I won't give you no spoilers and ask you about that. Hope you've got your popcorn ready. But Graham, how impressed have you been with Orient's start to the season?
Do you know what? I think the transition to League Two, they've done really well. You know, it's obviously coming up from the National League. A lot of spotlight was on us, especially obviously what's happened over the summer as well. And I think the club, the players and everyone has dealt with it fantastically well. And obviously everyone knew that the start of the season was going to be a tough one, sort of mentally more so than any opposition you come up against, and I think they've handled it really well. And you even saw like the team spirit, especially after the winning goal last night, that they're more than capable of holding their own. They're more than capable of not upsetting a few people, because I believe that the club really want to do well this year and really push on and not just sort of consolidate, but to go four games in as well and only lose the one, pick up 7 points off of four games. I think it's a fantastic return, really, and all roads lead to Saturday.
Graham, you mentioned there then that it was going to be tough the start to this season, obviously what happened with Just at Edinburgh, back in the Football League. But how long does that emotional moment like that, how long does it hang over the team? Because we knew how emotionally charged it was going to be when we faced Cheltenham Town on the opening day. But how long does that feeling sort of override the first few months, the first few games of a season? When can we just, right, it's just focusing on the games now, that's still not lingering over us, as it were?
I think that's a bit of a tough question, because I don't think none of us have ever been in that situation, so I don't know whether you could actually put a time frame on when the sort of, when it sort of stops lingering. So like, as you quite rightly said, I don't know. I've never been in that situation myself. I don't know how long it goes. I think, if I'm honest, from a sort of, not an outsider looking in, but a non-player now, I would say that never goes. You never get over it. You'll never forget about it. You'll never forget about Justin, obviously. And I think in different games, different scenarios come up, and it's sort of in the back of your mind, you would kind of think, maybe I wish Justin was here, or I wonder what Justin would do, or do you remember Justin did this or Justin did that? Every time they're on the training pitch, they're constantly reminded about him. But I think they've got players in there that are strong characters. They've all stayed together. They've all experienced this together. And it's just a case of, not being harsh, but you just have to get on with it now. And it's, you know, you have a duty to play, be as professional off the pitch and on the pitch as possible. You've got a duty to the fans to perform at the highest level and not sort of sulk or let sentiment take the way forward. And just take each game as it comes, and just hopefully, I'm guessing, as soon as they cross that white line on a match day, that sort of everything that has gone on sort of maybe goes out of their mind a little bit, and they're just concentrating just on the game, and what they think of afterwards is entirely up to them. But whilst they're playing for that 90 minutes, your main focus is on winning that game and what Ross is asking of you.
Hi, Graham. Obviously, talking about sort of characters in the squad and a lot of young players being around in that squad as well in such a difficult circumstance.
Yeah.
Obviously, as an ex-academy player like yourself, it's great to see a lot of young players coming through in the first team. But how would you kind of differentiate the academy back then to how it is now in terms of obviously the quality we had in the academy back then to how we do now and seeing players coming through, but also this kind of general setup as well?
I think I spent a couple of days last month with the guys at Cambridge. Nothing in particular, just literally on that. It was to do with that question that you asked, just to see how academies are run now as opposed to when I was around and at Orient 2001 to 2004. And it is so technological, there's a lot more technology involved, there's a lot more sports science involved. Me personally, I'm very old school, and I compare it to when I was a teenager playing, and we come up against the likes of the Gillinghams and the Portsmouths, and you look at the way the youth team play now, that the clubs that they play now were exactly the same clubs as when I was around. I find that back then, 16, 17, 18-year-olds were more men. And I don't know whether that's the old school mentality. It was just literally, you get in, you get your hands dirty, and you work, and you sweat, and you run, and you take the rough with the smooth. You take a beating up in the change room as sort of an initiation, not this singing lark now. But it was, I look at the guys I was in and around then, the sorts of, like Donny Barnard, Boniek Forbes, Kevin Stevens, even Aaron McLean's Jabos. You have to grow up really quickly. And I look now and I think on the ball and technically they're a lot further ahead than us, but I still see 16, 17, 18-year-olds now as being sort of baby-faced and sort of a little bit wet behind the ears. And I sit there sometimes, it's really weird, I sit there sometimes now and just giggle because I just think to myself, I wonder how you would be or what you would be like if I moved you back sort of 17, 18 years and you come and be in the youth team with me and my lot and how you would kind of react to different scenarios, react to different things and how you would sort of get on with everyday life. But the guys that have got now, they're really good guys, the youth team boys, they're really coming through and they're highly thought of. There's an awful lot of them coming through and hopefully we'll see a few more this season as well. But you've got to look at people like Dan Happe, Miles Judd and even the move that Josh Caroma got, you know, it's there's massive potential for these guys now, and if they behave themselves, work hard and get their heads down, there's no reason why they can't have really, really good careers in the game.
Graham, we mentioned that Leighton Orient, their home form's going to be key this season. If they can pick up the points at home, they'll be fine, they'll be all right. But they did get a great away win last night, 2-0 down, 96-minute winner, 3-2 to Mansfield. What can Leighton Orient achieve this season?
That's a really, really good million-dollar question, isn't it? I think this early stage of the season, when you've got to look towards 10, 15 games in, you've got to just pick up as many points as you can, I believe. Obviously, home form is key. You've got to look to win every home game. At least, if you know, the Stevenage is a great example. If you're not going to win the game, let's not lose it. And pick up what you can away from home. You know, it's still all new to us. You're going into every game a little bit blind. You're not really too sure of the opposition. You never know what you're going to come up against. And I think it's just a case of taking it sort of 5-10 games at a time and just assessing where you are. And I think if we're in the position where you look at the table now, if you look at where we are now and sort of if we're there in sort of January time, I believe with the squad that we've got, there's no reason why, you know, a nice little run the other side of Christmas, sneaking into the playoffs, that would be a fantastic sort of achievement, especially first year back, and that's got to be sort of an aim for us. But again, the league will decide, you know, if you've got two or three teams running away with it, you've just got to try and hang on to their coattails and see where it takes you.
Graham, hi, it's Julian. Just a quick question to end it on. Any dirt on Lingy, really? Because I know you worked under him, so anything you can share that we can just... It's only a few of us here listening in, so it'd be great to understand any dirt on Lingy, really.
What he's like? Or...
Yeah. Give us some dirt. Yeah, give us some dirt, so give him a tough time on Saturday.
Nah, he's a fantastic guy. I'll never say a bad word about the guy. He was there in a few capacities when I was there, first team manager, youth team manager. And the best thing that ever happened to the club, I know like the likes of Mac Porter came back and the guy slowly dribbled back into the club. But Lingy was the best one to sort of stabilise that club and get everything back to normal again. Obviously, his health, mental health issues were have been sort of brought to the fore and he's opening and to talk about them, which is fantastic for everyone to know. But as a guy, as... a figurehead, I don't believe that club is in better hands. I've known him obviously since my time there, and every time I've been back to the club and said hello to him, he's had time for me, he's had a time for a conversation, which is pretty rare. Not that anyone wants to talk to me, it's just that, you know, that it's just that he's in such a...
We want to talk to you, Graham.
I just think he's in such a good position there now, and it's nice that he's still got time for people that he worked with many, many years ago. And I think the longer he stays around, the club will be in good hands.
Well, we really appreciate you giving us some time, Graham. We hope you enjoy your film tonight. Thank you for coming
on.
Look forward to speaking to you soon. Graham
and
Butler
you have,
there.
Take care, guys.
Cheers, Graham. Graham yeah, Butler cheers. There, ex-Orient pro. Great to speak to him. Just very quickly, there is a round of championship fixtures tonight. Charlton are 1-0 up. That man again, Lyle Taylor, has scored. They lead 1-0 against Forest. In the other London game, Fulham are playing Millwall. Fulham are leading 1-0. No, it wasn't Tony Knockers. It was their other new signing, Cavalero. QPR are losing to Swansea 1-0. Preston are beating Stoke 2-0. And Leeds are drawing 0-0 with Brentford. Next, though, we will be looking at that classic game last night. 3-2 to Orient, beating Mansfield.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Eat and Mess Podcast, The Knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. Just another quick update. Fulham have scored again. It is now 2-0 to Fulham against Millwall. We will be keeping you up to date with the championship scores from around the UK. Obviously, we are talking Orient here tonight. Now let's talk about a better game. I think it's fair to say, because it was 0-0 against Stevenage. One with a few more goals, one with a few more points. It wasn't looking that way. Firstly, I had it on in the studio. I said earlier, it didn't start well. You lot were all WhatsApping in a group. I appreciate that. You could have been texting each other, but it was keeping me a loop. You wasn't happy when it was 1-0, then 2-0. Lots of formation talk. What was going wrong? The comeback started. We'll talk about it all. Then the winner, I mean, it must have been... you were both there, Julian and Brendan. Unbelievable scenes. Oh, Brendan, sorry, you wasn't there.
I was on my own. Remember that? I was there on my own.
Forgive me, because I always thought it was Brendan that went to the games. I mean, I know you're a big hit now with the Leighton Orient women and you just can't give us all your time. But if you could in future, remember, there is more to it as well. Julian, you was there. How was it, the atmosphere? Tell us both sides of the coin, though, when it wasn't going so well and when it went a lot better in the end.
I think you probably just, if you looked at the messages we were sending each other, like, they were rather poor pictures of back of seats and things like that. That's how interesting it was. For me, I think the first half was very, very similar to on Saturday, really. The setup was the same lineup. And trying to expect a different result. And that was the problem. We just didn't have anything whatsoever in midfield. And Craig Clay and Josh, they were working tough in there, but they overrun us in there a lot. I think because we wasn't really pushing on, our front two are doing their best to sort of keep their back four busy. But for me, the first 25, 30 minutes was dire. I was sitting there thinking, why have I driven all the way up from London? Yeah. Why am I going to drive home late tonight? Why... I said to my son, well, should we just kick off, go with KFC early night and get home before midnight? But
sounds like a good plan, really.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And it was shut on the way home, which is even worse. But reality was, Ross did something in the changing rooms at halftime. Yes, he changed the formation, and we were talking about it earlier. Our left and right back were getting further up the pitch when it was a four at the back, not a five. And so we had some cover in the midfield, or we had three in midfield in the second half. You know, it just felt better, felt more comfortable. You know, we have said it numerous times here on this show, and probably back in the last year, five at the back worked for some strange reason. Yeah, Justin changed it, and it got us over the line. It shouldn't be the prerequisite to continue with that. So for me, I think four at the back definitely worked for us. The change up in the lineup, we just went at them, and that's the thing. And I'm going to use the word aggression. It's not meant in the aggression being aggressive, but the aggressive play we came back in the second half, it was just amazing. People cared,
front
you
foot.
Know. And we was off our seats, and that's it. As a fan, you want to be off your seats, and you want to be involved and want to see the players really sort of putting a shift in.
Well, we mentioned then that, you know, you are back in the Football League. We asked, haven't we, previously on this show, how big is that gulf between non-league and League Two? How big is that step up? We know Mansfield in the playoffs last year. It's a tough place to go any time. If midweek, in the week, if they're not in form, you know, and we mentioned the away form, it's going to be tricky, but if we can stay in it. But how annoying is it when, regardless of how good Mansfield are, when you can't give any team, any football game, chances? How annoying was it when you're making mistakes? Not one penalty, but two penalties. You know, you're hurting yourselves there, aren't you, Orient? Would you agree, Rob?
Yeah, I think both very, very soft. I mean,
I don't Speaking really, like a true Orient fan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit on any fences. I think if the other end had been Stonewall penalties, but I'm not having it.
Yeah, they were soft, I'm going to give you that, but ultimately they were pens.
There's one in the middle which was a penalty which the ref waved away. Yeah, so it was like out of three.
Where's VAR in League Two, eh, yes, when you need it?
There was a lot of that in the sand.
Yeah, charades, there was a lot of charades playing.
That's right, yeah, sounds like two words. Yeah.
Sorry, Rob.
I think they didn't learn a lot of lessons from last year when they gave away a few soft penalties. There was one at Bromley when Ekpiteta did exactly the same thing as he did last night. Got the wrong side, tried to get the right side. He's a bit of a baby giraffe at sometimes. His limbs don't sort of follow his brain, and he looks clumsy even if he doesn't make any contact. So it wasn't a surprise that was given.
But you, in the second half, you should watch the way Marvin played in the second half. Mm. It was like the Marvin of old from last year. Yeah, yeah. He dominated. He was composed with the ball at his feet. He was very very much the player that I think we've grown to love. But you're quite right. I think that penalty was. I can see what he's trying to do. He was trying to get over the back of the player. But reality is, his arms went up, literally touched the player. As soon as you touch the player, he's gone down, rolled around, and...
Is that where still Marvin's got to learn in? There's an immaturity to his game, because if we're seeing, like, second half great, but the damage, you know, you did come back, but the damage could have been already done at that point. I mean, you can't have too many moments of madness there, can you?
I think what you've got to remember, he was playing non-league football 18 months ago for East Thurrock. He wasn't young when he was playing then. He's come to the professional game, not old, but certainly not as an 18, 19-year-old, so... There is a big gulf in what he's taken from Conference South up into the Conference National, now into the Football League in such a short space of time. He's got massive amounts of ability, and when he's on it, he got us out of so much trouble last year. He's got a goal for out the other end. He's good on the ball, but yeah, he's open to the odd ricket. But I think with a bit more experience, that will probably come out of his game, and he'll be a lot more solid as the season goes on.
The four in the back, I think, definitely suits him as well, because in the five, he has to run the channels a bit, and he's not. He looks like he should be a bit quicker than he is, and he's not actually the quickest.
He's not that quick,
So he gets turned inside out by maybe someone running on the outside of him, whereas in the four, you stay with a four, compact four, and you have Coulson next to him, and I think it helps him out a lot, that four at the back system.
Well, I felt a couple of times that Mansfield did sort of canter Leighton Orient and expose those flaws. It was that through ball over the top or through the middle, and, you know, Leighton Orient almost found want in the defences, and I felt like that was the same mistake that Orient made in the Macclesfield game.
Through the middle,
yeah.
Everything went through the middle, bypassed Josh and Craig, and then put the back five at the start under pressure. You know, so I think the second penalty was, don't know what Joe was doing. I think in some ways Marvin was pleased that he pushed him over, because it just took the heat off of him for a bit. But reality is, I'm not quite sure why. We do give away some silly stuff at times, and in the moment, and then there's a lot of pressure, because there's a lot of tutting from the Orient fans when we're sitting there, because we're not try to encourage everything on Twitter, all positive, but deep down you go, oh, do we come here, you know, how many hundreds of miles, you know, a couple of hundred miles, and we're losing 2-0
on a school night
as well. Yeah. But the thing I will say, and I will say very loudly and proudly, that Ross did say at half time made a conscious effort to change it, and that put us on the front foot.
Sorry, Brendan. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that then, because we have mentioned on this show, you know, not, and it wasn't a disservice to Ross. We wasn't trying to, you know, talk him down, but we said, is he out of his depth? No one expected him to be in this situation. He didn't expect to be in this situation 6 months ago. He is now the manager. Is he ready? Can he take that step up? Like, the players have got to take that step up. And now it's nice that we can applaud him and say, you know what, he come out half time, he made that change, and Orient have reaped the rewards, haven't they?
Yeah, I was so pleased for him. Hopefully this is the start of
can kick
now
on.
Everyone, and now everyone knows he's got that tactical mentality about him. He can change games, he can do all that, and hopefully now he has our full support. There'll be no more doubts about him, hopefully.
Alright, I just want to also mention that I keep harping on about it, but I've really sort of invested. Leighton Orient have to be good at home this season. But more than, if this is maybe a difficult question, I know how joyous an occasion it was being back in the Football League, beating Cheltenham Town 1-0, what a day it was, you know, emotionally charged, should I say, for Justin Edinburgh. Josh Wright got the win, almost written maybe in the stars, some would say. But if we take everything that surrounds that game out of the equation, was last night, I know we're only four games in, but was that the real massive win of the season? Because I think beating Mansfield away from home, you're 2-0 down, because we said, when are we going to be tested? When are we going to show that real thing of character? Because I think any time any football team goes 1-0, let alone 2-0 down, and you come back, that's when you want to see the players stand up for themselves, not just roll over and die, isn't it, Julian?
For me, I think last night was the Justin approach, really. That would have been the approach I would have seen from a Justin side. You know, so I was really impressed. And I think, out of the two games, that was the one we can say that's kicked the season off. But reality is, if we would have beaten Stevenage on Saturday, we would have been second in the league. Yeah?
Getting very excited.
Yeah, but we sat here... Stats don't lie, that's right. Yeah.
That's
the knowledge. but that's really good, you know. And you look upon our start last year, and I think there's a thing about McCauley took four games to get his striking boots on as well. So I think we're in a positive place, but I'm going back south a bit regards to sort of probably the first couple of times on here, be going, everything's going to be great. I'm going, just see how it goes. And Saturday's a big game for us, Crawley. You know, we have a bit of a sort of gently undulating relationship with Crawley. You know, we sort of throw games away and then we beat them. And it's just, so I'm really hoping we can get a good result there. And then following on our friends at Salford the week after, out of those two games, we get 4 points. I'm a happy bunny.
Well, you might even be a more than a happy bunny in a minute, because we have had a WhatsApp into the studio. And thank you for the message. We're not quite sure who it is. You didn't leave your name. But they have said it's nice to hear fans who have an opinion on the game and the club. And it's not just a loving. You don't always have to agree with everything, but it's good to hear new opinions. So we're really appreciative of that WhatsApp. Julian, was it a friend? Have you told someone to message you?
Just now.
It's you.
It's me. I just sent it.
Well, look, Rob, I did just mention, was that a bigger win last night than the opening day win?
I think so. I think it answered a lot of questions. There was a few uncertainties leading into this game, start of the season. Did Ross want the job? Is he up to the job? Are we going to score goals?
We don't get answers though after one game, do we? But we can know a little bit more, because we don't want to do that thing where we lose to Crawley on the weekend and we're like, Ross don't know what he's doing.
You can tell from Ross, he's seeing when he celebrated when the third one went in. You know, he's got a yellow card.
You can see how much it meant to him.
Yeah, and I think that takes a bit of pressure off him as well. Yeah, but reality is he's still. I think none of us should judge him. Give him a few more games, six more games to sort of prove the point. After 10 games, then I think that's a true barometer of whether it's going to work, whether it's going to be successful or not. I think after four games and an absolute random one at Mansfield away, we shouldn't be sitting there going, Ross is the right man. It's time, but let's give the guy a chance. I think we should back him for the next six games, and then we'll sort of revisit that. And he knows it himself. And as you know, any manager in any role, you know, there's a period of time where you get to the end of that sort of little bit, you go, actually, I don't think I can do this, so get someone else in who can.
If we're only judging it then after 10 games, why do we do this thing as fans then, when we're like, oh, if we looked at the stats, we could be second. Ross is maybe a little bit out of his depth. And then afterwards, like, yeah, Rossi, what a great team talk that was. Not you three in general, but I know I'll do it. Every fan show, they do
it. It's called football.
But why is that? Why are we so fickle as a football fan in this sport that we do judge? Because we almost want instant results. We live in an age where everything's instant. Why do we do that after every game, even though we've just gone to Mansfield and that was a fantastic 3 points?
Football's a pretty random game though, isn't it? So anything can happen on any given day. So like, you weigh up the opportunities, what happened, we could have done this, we should have done that, and like, anything can happen. So you just replay, it means so much, you replay things in your mind and stuff like that. So yeah, obviously you're going to twist and turn on your opinions, and I think it's very hard to stay level-headed when you care so much about a club like we do about Orient and other fans do about their clubs.
It is hard to say to stay level-headed. Let me put it a different way then. 7 points after four games before the season, would you have taken that?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
There you have it. They would have definitely taken that. Hopefully it could be 10 points. We're going to be looking at the Crawley game next. But first, we want to talk a little bit about a signing that was made and those Leighton Orient women.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with E10MES Podcast, The Knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. Great to have you all in the studio. Of course, we're talking about Orient. They beat Mansfield 3-2 last night in a five-game thriller. They drew with Stevenage on the weekend. We're going to be looking at the Crawley game. Just a quick update for you. There are games in the Championship tonight. Charlton, what a fantastic run they are on. Back in the Championship, the Addicts are are flying under Lee Bowyer. It is 1-0 at half-time there. Fulham are 2-0 up at half-time to Millwall. Brentford are drawing with Leeds, and QPR are still 1-0 down to Swansea. Reading are drawing 0-0 with West Brom. Let's look at a new signing that Orient have made, because I want to bring Adam into this. Adam, who we're sorely missing tonight, he mentioned on the WhatsApp group that Orient, they needed a midfielder. He said it on the show, they need a midfielder. And then you've got a midfielder. Might not be maybe the one you was after, but he's a prospect at Spurs. They do the Spurs fan show on a Thursday night. Last word was Spurs. They've spoke about him. How pleased were you with the signing of George Marsh? Could he add to the side? Could he give it a new dynamic, Brendan?
It's an interesting one, because Embleton's been saying he doesn't want loans. Last year we had a guy called Levi Lemaker, played one game, never played again, shipped off back to Crystal Palace. And Embleton's been saying in pre-season, we don't really want loans because we don't really trust the academy prima donna system. They're kind of pampered. We don't know if we can trust them. And then with this guy, Marsh, he's been like, yeah, he's the right character for us. He's who we want. He can fit in. He can slot in well. So you've got to trust Embleton. You've got to trust that this bloke's the right character to come in and hopefully boost our central midfield options.
I think for me, the thing we've said in sort of pre-season, one of the enforcer,
George Marsh, definitely, five foot three,
and an enforcer. And I think on his bio, he said he can play centre half. If he can play centre half, I can run 100 meters in sort of 3.2
whoa,
seconds.
Whoa, Jordan, yeah, so, why can't he play centre half? Good things come in small packages, mate. Yeah,
that's what I got told anyway. Yeah, yeah.
For me, from what speaking to Spurs fans. Absolutely, pre-season he played against Inter Milan and did a good job, you know, and he is a tough tackler, he can get involved, and I was really surprised we didn't bring him on last night, you know, and especially coming out of that second half where we wanted to protect the back four and probably put a sort of couple of boots in, but the rest of the squad did that. One thing I'm going to say a really weird thing, you're going to probably all throw stuff at me. I was watching him warm up I was watching him warm up last night and just sort of taking particular interest on what he was doing in his personal warm up, sort of down the line, and when he came on at sort of at half time and was doing his warm up. Absolutely solid pro, you know. He's focused and wanted to make sure he's ready at any time. When you see some of the other players, not our players, but other players across the leagues, they do that stretch where it's stretching nothing, all about they're just leaning against a wall. He was really switched on. I think if he'd have come on any time, he would have rocketed. I think he wanted to get on the pitch. So I really hope we're going to use him. You know, we're not going to take someone on loan. We used to have a really good relationship with Spurs in years gone by, and you still do, don't you? We haven't really. You know, I think the sort of the biggest name who we made sure he was famous was old Harry. You know, so if it wasn't for us, I think Harry Kane wouldn't have been the captain of England.
Very modest,
wouldn't have been very humble. The culture for Spurs. So we used to have a great relationship, and that sort of petered off for some reason. And I really think this is the start of hopefully this is the start of that relationship again, because there is some phenomenal talent hanging around Spurs.
Well, Rob, Brendan mentioned there then that, you know, Ross didn't really want to use the loan market, but it can be a good thing because these players, they want to take their chance. They want to show Spurs what they're missing out on. And when you come from an academy like Spurs, you know, he's going to be the ultimate professional. The training and the facilities he gets up there, he's going to come and he's going to look to take his time. He wants game time. He wants to play week in, week out. If he impresses because he wants to impress for Spurs, it's only going to help Leighton Orient in the long run, isn't it?
Yeah, he's going to come with the right mindset. I think a lot of young players that go on loan haven't really necessarily been around first team players or first team football that much, but I mean, he played in the League Cup last season for Tottenham. He played in the Tesco and Sainsbury's Cup in pre-season against Inter Milan and I think Bayern Munich, wherever they played as well. So he's been up against some good players. I mean, he'll have good experience. So, and let's face it, the last little bloke we had wasn't too bad either. So I think we do pretty well there. So we'll give him a chance.
I think the rumour mill on Saturday was he was there watching, and Anthony Grant from Shrewsbury as well. So for me, Anthony Grant would be my player. He ticked my personal boxes. Quite a tall lad, enforcer, been around the block. But reality is he knows the lower leagues. But I'm willing to sort of wait and see. But I really hope we just don't bring this young lad in. He sits him on the bench for the next. He's here till Christmas in January, and then he ships off to Spurs, and we sort of don't get the benefit of him.
Yeah, talking about Anthony Grant, I think it's kind of the polar opposite. Even though you'd think he's an older player, he's more experienced. I think there's been rumours of attitude problems with him. I think he's been forced to train with the kids at Shrewsbury. So, and then also you've got this kid who's who Embleton clearly thinks has got the right mentality, so maybe he wants to keep that and not upset the apple cart kind of thing.
I think what you're saying is right. I think he probably had the choice.
Yeah.
And I think Ross is seeing, and I think this is one thing Justin did really well last couple of years, is that fits the profile of the club. So let's wait and see. Yeah, let's hopefully come in next week and we can talk about this guy is an absolute legend. And I think there's another guy who went on loan to Cambridge, wasn't there? I can't remember the guy's name. And he was...
Brendan, you don't know his name, the knowledge.
No, I'll go with Hope. Rolls, something like Rolls.
That's Jack not good
Rolls.
Enough.
Ham Rolls.
Well, we have had another WhatsApp into the studio, and it is Spurs don't let players out on loan in general under management. Now that they've been sold, but Marsh is massively rated. So if that's happening, he will be looking to go back to Spurs next year. Obviously, someone's saying then that if they've let him go on loan, they don't want to sell him. They obviously see a future in him, and he is massively rated at Spurs, which is what we've been saying. So obviously, maybe Orient are onto a very good thing there.
Yeah, I agree. And I really hope that's the case.
Well, brilliant. Brendan, it is now time to talk about Leighton Orient women, because we did mention it last week. Their season was kicking off. They were playing Cambridge. It was an important game. It was a very close game. I think it was 5-1. 5-1. Really close. Tell us about the game. How pleased were you with that result and that performance, 5-1, to start a new season?
They got off to an absolute flyer. Within like 3 minutes, they were 1-0 up. Straight ball straight in from a corner. Keeper couldn't get it and just straight in. And it was a flying start. Since from then on, kind of dominated the game. We started 7 debutants. So we had a busy summer. And all the players blended in really well. Really hopeful for this season. Hopefully we can push on this season and improve on last season's fifth place.
That's what I was going to think. You know, when you said about this, the 7 debuts, and if that was a man's side or one, like an Orient, if we just signed 7 new players and they all started, we'd probably be sitting there going, oh, that's a bit strong. It's good that they gel together. And I think us as fans, we one thing that the current regime have done really well is bring the women's team into the club, not let them sit on the side. You know,
all under one banner, all under the same umbrella.
We all play in the same kit. You know, it's they're run very professionally. You know, they've got a half average media manager now, so which is great.
At best,
at best. But I think it's something for me, and one of my sort of BHAGs this season is to get to at least a handful of games over there on the Sunday, because they play some good football, you know, and some of the bits
clearly,
I've seen. 5-1.
5-1.
And especially when you sort of just got a 0-0 at Stevenage at home, I could have done with that sort of that enthusiasm on a Sunday. So,
well, Brendan, you are the media manager, so I'm hoping that you can maybe get us a guest. Would love to speak to one of the team.
Definitely,
or the manager in the week, because 5-1, just a great start to the season. Is it? Let's take away that result, though. Is that... What are the expectations of the season? Because we don't want to do a Leighton Orient 1-0 to Cheltenham and be like, this is going to be a good start, 5-1. Let's keep our feet on the ground.
There's maybe perhaps loftier ambitions with the women than there are for the men, definitely. I think we made some really good signings over the summer. Players from like West Ham and other big clubs have come down and signed for us this year. So we're hoping, perhaps a promotion push. I think we're a bit disappointed about coming fifth last year. We got to 2 cup finals and 1-1. We want to improve on that. We want to get promotion, I think, is the kind of the buzzword in the camp at the minute.
Who's the big teams in the league for us this year?
We've got Norwich, Ipswich, Billericay have got a bit of money in that league.
No.
Yeah. So, some interesting places we go to, yeah.
I've seen it. I've done my research. I like to do a bit of research after we spoke last week. I looked at the fixtures. The games do... There's months when you have a game every week and then there's a couple of months where you just have one game. But there's a lot of games and they're tests, aren't they? Because these are teams that have been around for years. And 5-1, that was quite a bold statement, weren't it, Brendan, to start that season off? Yeah. I think teams and fans aware of sort of... They're wary of Leighton Orient, should I say, this season.
You'd hope so, definitely. Cambridge City, the team we played on Saturday, were newly promoted, but they definitely weren't any mugs at all. They got 3 promotions in 4 years previous to last season, so they kind of might have found their level now, but still it's a hugely impressive result, 5-1 on the opening day. We're top of the league now, sent a statement out to the rest of the division. Hopefully we can stay there for the rest of the season now.
Now, double promotion for Orient in League 2 and Leighton Orient Women. Just, we know the impact of the women's game lately, the Women's World Cup. You're the media manager of the Leighton Orient Women, Brendan. How big is the game getting? Because the growth in the last 12 to 18 months has been incredible, hasn't it?
Yeah, we hope that Orient can take some of that in. And even just across London, like I think Chelsea and Tottenham is going to be played at Stamford Bridge soon. They get them, I think it's a sold out crowd there. Even though,
Bristol City women are playing games at Ashton Gate.
Yeah, so yeah, and we've got a game at Brisbane Road in September, so yeah, close to the time we'll be promoting that a bit more heavily. But yeah, really hoping we can capitalise on the success of the World Cup during the summer.
Definitely. Well, we look forward to it. Hopefully we're a good omen. 5-1 on the weekend, not a bad result. I did keep my eye on it. Great to talk to Brendan there, the media manager for Leighton Orient Women. Next, though, we're going to be talking to Gary Smith, who is a commentator for Crawley Town.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast. Brendan Pitcher, The Knowledge, Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. Just a quick update. Charlton are leading Nottingham Forest 1-0. Fulham are winning 2-0. QPR are losing to Swansea. There is championship games all across the country. We're going to be keeping you up to date with those. But it is now time to talk to Gary Smith, because we've talked about the Stevenage game. We've talked about the Orient game. Orient are on a little bit of a run. There's a little bit of a momentum. There certainly is from last night. We do play Crawley on the weekend. Gary, Crawley have had a mixed, indifferent start to the season. What are you thinking ahead of this weekend's game?
Yeah, evening, gents. I think it's going to be a very tough one on Saturday. Crawley were on the wrong end of a 2-1 defeat last night by Crewe Alexandra. Take nothing away from Crewe. They were a very, very good side. And, you know, you can see why they're top of the table after that victory last night. But Crawley need to just sort of regather. They'd had a little bit of a run themselves before last night. A decent draw at Scunthorpe on Saturday and a win at Walsall in the Cup last week, and a victory over Salford in their opening home match of the season. So they just need to regroup a little bit. The boss made four changes last night, which surprised a few people, because the side had played relatively well up at Scunthorpe and, as I say, got a decent draw and had the chance to win it with a penalty that they missed in the closing stages. So I think it's just, I think the tactics last night didn't really work out for him, and they just need to regroup and focus again on Saturday.
Hi, Gary. So obviously, as the Orient B team, we know a lot about some of the Crawley players anyway. But aside from obviously the likes of Ollie Palmer, Jimmy Smith, Morris and Doherty, who couldn't get into our team, who should we be looking out for, really?
Well, I think the main person to look out for at the moment is Bezalu Bala, who's come and signed a two-year deal from Birmingham. He scored four goals in the opening four league games, so a goal a game so far, and he could have had five if he'd scored the penalty at Scunthorpe on Saturday. One of the players you mentioned there, Jimmy Smith, you know, out injured for a lot of last season, can't get in the squad just at the moment, can't even make the bench. I think he was on the bench at Walsall for the cup tie last week, but that was a bit of a sort of B-string side itself out there. Glenn Morris, obviously, you know, fantastic keeper, one of the best in League Two. But I think the main threat will be Bezalu Bala, and also Mason Bloomfield, if he's fit again for Saturday. He's missed the last couple of games. He's on loan from Norwich City. If he's fit again and the boss tells me that he's back in training and could be available again for Saturday, then I think he'll be chomping at the bat to prove his worth and get his first goal for the club.
And you speak about the boss. We had our fair share of Italian managers under our previous owner. How's Cioffi getting on? What's your views on him?
I think last season was a bit of a mixed bag. Obviously, he took over in September. He only really had the January transfer window to work in, and there's not always huge options available, is there? Because, you know, players won't be out of contract maybe until the summer. So he did bring in a couple of signings, but he's made 10 signings over the summer and really sort of strengthened the squad, and he's got quite a big squad there now. And I think the fans at the moment in these opening handful of games are quite optimistic and quite pleased about the way that he's trying to get the side to play and the formation that he's trying to play, because he either likes to play a 4-2-3-1 or he likes to play a 4-3-3. But he's winning a few people over with the way that the side are trying to play, but obviously it's a results-driven business, and you can play all the nice football that you want to. If you're not getting the results at the end of the day, you know, then people will be on his back. So I think that he needs to start getting a few results together and push the side back up the table.
You talked about the formation there and sort of 4-3-3 and sort of O's last night. We did really well in the second half with 4-3-3. I just want to sort of refer back to one of our... he's not a legend, but I just thought he was a really good player for us, and especially when he scored against Portsmouth. So, Ollie Palmer. So, what do the fans think about Ollie? You know, he split opinions at the O's. So, what was he doing at Crawley?
I think he does pretty much the same thing. I mean, he started last season absolutely on fire and was scoring almost every week. And then he got himself sent off just before Christmas in a home match. And then he had a five-game ban. And when he came back, he wasn't really the same sort of player. There was a lot of talk around the fact that he might be moving to a League One club. That never materialised. He was never the same sort of player for the tail end of the season, as much as he finished as the top scorer with 16 goals. He's been sort of in and out of the side since the start of this season. He's come off the bench a couple of times for Ashley Nadderson now that he's fit, and he's been starting and playing sort of 60, 65 minutes. He did play the whole 90 minutes last night, and I think that's the first full 90 minutes that he's played this season, and certainly in the league anyway. But he's a big, strong lad, but he always looks sometimes, you know, a little bit cumbersome to me. And, you know, players... Last season, I think the problem was that Palmer was winning plenty in the air when the ball was played forward, but the players, the midfield players, weren't getting up in support or getting beyond him when he was flicking it on. And last night, he had a little bit of frustration when he was doing pretty much the same again. So, yeah, I agree that he is a player that divides opinion. On his day, he's a very, very good centre-forward, but I have a feeling that this season his chances may be quite limited in the side.
And you have quite an ambitious owner who's seen you like rise through the leagues a bit, but in recent years it's kind of been tempered a bit, not as much spending. What are the expectations this season?
Well, the expectations, I think, were anything above where the side finished last season, which was 19th. And as I say, Mr. Joffe's had a busy window in the summer. He's brought in 10 players. He's brought in a new assistant manager and plenty of backroom staff. And I think, given what the... You know, although the results haven't been ideal since the start of this season, I think what the fans can see in terms of the strength in the squads and the way that the side are now playing their matches. I mean, take the game on Saturday, for example. Last season, that game away at Scunthorpe, Crawley wouldn't have found the resilience and the strength to come back and get an equaliser. It would have finished 2-1, 3-1, or maybe even 4-1 to Scunthorpe. So I think he's really sort of strengthened the side and the resilience of the side this time around. And I think the expectations are that the side will, at the very least, finish in the top half of the table, maybe even pushing towards that top 10.
Well, you mentioned that they want to finish in the top half, pushing towards that top 10. Gary, what is your prediction for this weekend?
This weekend?
Bearing in mind you are on the Leighton Orient fan show, yeah?
Yeah, okay. It's going to be a very, very tough one. I mean, obviously, you know, I said to a couple of the players last night when I interviewed them post-match and also to the manager, going to Orient, where everything that's gone on and the rollercoaster of emotions that have gone on from winning the National League last season and then the terrible tragedy that engulfed the club, you know, just after that. And obviously on behalf of Crawley and also BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey, we send our condolences to the whole Leighton Orient family and all of Justin's family and friends and everything. It's obviously a very, very emotional time still to be going there because it's all still, I would imagine, fairly raw and awful for the supporters at the present time. And I think, like many games, the first goal on Saturday, if there is one, is going to be vitally important. Crawley, not great on the road last season. They've shown, as I say, a little bit more resilience on the road so far this season. And I think, to get myself out of any trouble, guys, I think I'm going to sit on the fence on this one and say that it's going to finish 1-1 on Saturday.
Don't worry about that, Gary. When we do the opposition view, we get a lot of splinters on this show. So, wise man, we really appreciate you coming on. Gary Smith there, commentator.
No problem.
Cheers, Gary. Commentator for Crawley Town. Of course, it is time for you three to make your predictions. Rob, I'm going to start with you facing Crawley this weekend. Hopefully, you're not going to sit on the fence.
No splinters. 2-1, I reckon. I think this will be a close game. I think they look like they've scored quite a few goals this season. They look kind of on the verge of getting it together. But, I think we'll follow up from Tuesday and 2-1.
I think we're going to go 3-1.
To
not the Orient B-side. Yeah, the Orient first team. Yeah, so, yeah, 3-1 to the O's.
Oh, he's confident. Brendan?
Yeah, Crawley's games have been a bit of a goal fest. We had a goal fest on Tuesday night. I'll go 2-1 as well, yeah.
2-1. So that's score wins all round. No splinters. I'm going 4. What did I say last week?
You just make it up.
What?
You just make
no,
it up.
No, I'm on a run. I'm on a great run.
Oh, what run?
I said you was going to lose to Macclesfield. You did.
You didn't have 0-0 last week.
But I did say draw, didn't I?
I said 0-0 though.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Well, the knowledge. I don't mind losing to you, Julian. It's clueless. No, I said a draw, I think. So I think I'm doing okay. But I'm going to go again a draw. I think Crawley are going to get a draw this weekend. I'm always a bit worried. There's a hangover. Go on, Julian. Come on.
So when are you going to come over, though?
Whenever you'll have me.
Yeah, I'll gladly buy you a ticket and come see
No,
us.
You don't need to buy me a ticket. I want to go to Brisbane Road. I want to see a game. I want to see it right amongst it with audios.
We'll message and we'll get some dates. Yeah.
Well, personally, as long as you're saying there's a KFC afterwards, I'm down for it.
Up on Leighton High Road. Yeah, that's it.
Perfect. Well, I definitely want to see Leighton Orient women as well, because Brendan's making a big contribution over there. It's 5-1 to start their season. So I'm looking forward to watching them as well and keeping tabs on their season as it progresses. Well, Leighton Orient do face Crawley Town this weekend. We're hoping for another O's win. Keep flying that flag high. This has been the Leighton Orient Fan Show of E10MS Podcast. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.